Right now we got Drew Courtney with the North Dakota Corn Growers. Hi, sir. Good to see you in person for a change.
That's right, Eric. First time. Talked to you a few times and put a name to a face.
Exactly. Well, sorry, I've got a face for radio, but
me as well.
It is. But you're like the road warrior. You're the guy that's in Bismarck. And do they send you to Washington, too, or is it just the Bismarck trips, the capital trips?
We'll definitely get out to Washington as much as we can. That's a big ship to steer out there. But if you're not showing up, you're not there, and that can be a problem, you know. And like we're always saying, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So
yeah.
Get out there as much as you can. And sometimes you come home and wonder if you got anything done besides bang your head against the wall. But what I've learned so far, this is my eighth year on the board, and a lot of this, unfortunately, just takes time.
Yeah.
And when things start coming together, you can really feel good about it.
And Drew, I've thought about this. I totally get it because I understand Washington, D.C. and how it works. But I think sometimes people are like, oh, they're going to Washington again. Oh, they're going to Washington again. But, you know, and a lot of times I'm guessing you're preaching to the choir because North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota reps, they get it. So do you get to talk to the people that don't get it? Or, again, you try to, and I get trying to keep out in front of them, but do you feel like sometimes you're wasting your time when you get out there? And I don't mean to throw you in front of the bus.
No, that's not at all. I completely understand the question. What is nice to see about that is that they do get it. That's what we have in our
representatives.
In our corner, they do get it, which makes our job a lot easier. But we also travel about with national corn. We will do small state fly-ins and other fly-ins, and we'll go to delegations in Maine. So you want to talk about some tricky topics, talk about ethanol in a place where they're talking about a lot of boats and boat motors and stuff too. So you got to come with your facts and your knowledge to try to help with that ethanol and any of that marine stuff or small engines. So it takes some education, and some people, you get in some of these bigger cities, they don't quite understand the concept of whether we're talking ethanol or farm policy or how important agriculture is to the country.
The issues we have in agriculture right now, are they a bigger problem in Washington or are they a bigger problem in our own state? Because there's issues to work on here, too.
There's issues in both places. The part I like about getting out to Bismarck, it almost seems like the spot where you can even out the small details a little bit and really bring it home, whether it be any of this township stuff you're working on, road safety, and that ties right into agriculture, getting to these fields, and then that ties in with water management and things. And then you got to get out to D.C. and swing the big sticks and talk about, you know, maybe some of this. Nobody likes these bridge payments, but hey, if we're gonna need it,
you got a lot of farms that are going under.
It's going to be a problem, and you have to stay ahead of it because if you're too late to some of this, it's going to be a bad news.
You and I were talking before we got on the air, and I know that I'm going to be visiting with our Governor Kelly Armstrong coming up here in about 10 minutes, and this is going to be one of the things we're talking about. I thought it was interesting, and unfortunately he did it when we were all up at KMOT, but he rolled out the statewide program to improve soil health, which I'm all for, and also wildlife habitat. It's the Legacy Soil Health and Habitat Program, and I know a lot of folks from agriculture attended that meeting. I don't think you got a chance to directly go down there, but I'm guessing that you've had a chance to digest some of it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I got to read into it a little bit more, too, but you want to talk about stewards of the land. That's us as farmers, and when you're looking at roughly 6 million acres of saline soils across the state of North Dakota, what's one way that we can deal with this? You know, drain tile being an option, or having options to mitigate some of this and farm what should be farmed, whether that drain tile will help out, and then having programs like this in place. Every farmer likes to go out with their relatives and their friends to go do some hunting. They got people coming in from out of town. There's so many opportunities as an ag producer. You know, we're the best stewards of the land, and having other spots where we can tie in these extra areas of our farm, you know, and improve the soil. That's number one, because what are we going to want to pass on our kids is that soil. We don't want to give them some of the condition that some of these fields are in now. So any opportunity we have to get rid of this saline and move forward is a big incentive.
And a good part of the program, they actually have game and fish as part of the program.
We did.
So they're
with them. It's always that, you know, that's kind of a butting head sometimes with agriculture and game and fish, but look at the things right there you can do if you kind of come together a little bit, get on the same page, you know. What do they say about a good agreement is when both parties equally disagree, but
right. Everybody feels a little pain.
Yeah.
but not too much.
But, yeah, collaboration is good, and we can definitely utilize programs like that throughout the farming community.
Water issues, easements in the state right now, North Dakota, ongoing battles. Probably you can say that for other states as well. There has been some updates recently. Anything that you're excited about? Are we heading in the right direction, or there really hasn't been any direction?
Yeah, that's that part I mentioned earlier about just showing up, just making sure to get out there. I've been working at actually the fish and wildlife easements for about the last 8 years now. Just keep on hitting the doors and banging that drum. And I think even in the wildlife community, they're realizing, hey, like we mentioned, these saline soils, they want habitat. These easements are there, mm-hmm. but they're preventing us from moving forward, and there's no habitat there anymore. I can't think of many ducks that like eating saline soils. They'd rather have some nice 200 bushel corn spots they can go and feed on. So if we can get some of these acres mitigated, moved, get some of this land back into production, use these good programs that the state just came out with, that's a win-win. That's a win for the hunting community, and that's a win for agriculture. You get your habitat back, and we can produce what we're good at.
I think they're talking about turning back into like grassland and different things. I don't know if you can do that with it, but boy, you want to talk about like the saline program or the saline problem in the state. Go drive around like close to harvest time and look at the fields, especially like central and northern North Dakota. Like, holy cats.
Yeah, it's a serious problem in the state, and every producer in the state is trying to figure out a way to tackle this. I mean, there's some spots that are so far gone, you know, you're not going to get a cover crop and things like that too, but it all comes down to water management. That's just what it is. It's water management is what needs to get taken care of.
Okay, so we're going to kind of try stay away from E15 because we've talked about it quite a bit. We did get some positive movement on 45Z today. I don't know if you read about that or anything you want to add on that right now, or maybe you're still doing the research, but it does look like we've only been talking about this for 3 years, waiting for definitions, and I think from what I heard from one economist that we're 95% there now. So I guess that could be a little light at the end of the tunnel, right?
I think so, but now, you know, we were moving at 10% at a time, you know, we're taking big whacks at it. Now I think we're going to move at about 1% of the time if we're only at 95. So it's got to get across the finish line.
Drew, what's the mood like getting ready for 26? You know, obviously you're in the heart of it, and you got to deal with both sides. You're obviously trying to battle for growers. That's what the corn growers do, and trying to get things better, get better payments, more trade, all that kind of fun stuff. Council's in there as well. But at some point, you just got to go out and plant it, raise crops, do as big a crop as you can. We had plenty of weather challenges last year, too. You want to just add the extra little black swan events. It just keeps coming. So is it hard to be positive, or is that just a farmer's the eternal optimist?
You have to be positive. I mean, every day you wake up and you're your own boss. Nobody's telling you what to do. Granted, it might not be the most luxurious all the time, but in everybody's heart, when you're a farmer, you're a farmer, and you're proud to say that you're a farmer. And we can spread across and get the job done. And dig our heels in times like this, and we'll keep, you know, you always keep that hope going, and you have to. You look at next generation, and why are you here today? It's because the generation before did the same thing that you know that you can do today.
Let me ask you a little bit about, like, input costs and just the costs of getting your crop ready and taking care of your crop. Are the prices getting better, or are they still high?
We're still a little higher than we want to be. Okay. You're going to have to sharpen your pencil a little more. It's there, but find the right opportunities. Take advantage of the market, and you know, doubles and singles will get producers through this year. Don't shoot for the home runs.
Okay, you got any snow cover in your neck of the woods?
Being part of a snowmobile club, we had a snowmobile ride lined up right after that first snow. We had 14 days to get our ride done, and it all melted in that time.
Are
so we are
kidding?
We're out of snow, and the frost is getting deeper.
Where are you by again? Oaks. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's. You know, it's so sad, and a lot of you guys, Ted Brandt is another one. Do you snowmobile with Ted Brandt? He's over by Enderlin. I mean, you guys could have, like, a giant club. He's one of those soybean guys anyway. You'd want to snowmobile. No, I'm just teasing. But, gosh, it'd sure be nice just to have a nice snow year, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be all right. You know, it's always the challenges in the spring. You usually have other four-letter words when it comes to snow. But, you know, what I do like to see is with the snow cover off, we're getting some frost now. We're killing some bugs that are out there. You know, if you had some disease pressure, you know, maybe breaking up some hard pans with this frost. Obviously not too deep to be freezing up septic lines, but it's good.
Very good. Well, Drew, thank you very much for stopping by. Greatly appreciate it. It's good to catch your face so I know who to yell at. I mean, talk to when I see you. But are you going down to San Antonio in a couple weeks?
Nope, I am not going to be attending that.
Are they limiting, like, the North Dakota guys, or what the heck?
No,
we're not.
I'm banking on that snow you're talking about. I got about three kids that'll probably want to ride a snowmobile, so maybe I should stick around if something shows up.
Gotcha. Yeah, you don't like eating ribs? That's fine. There's more for us.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.